Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Huge hello to you today. And if you're joining with us online, as you've heard, today is building our future. It certainly is. For any of you that may be new to church or maybe you're watching online for the first time, building our future is a once a year Sunday. It's something that we do annually, and we set the day aside to sow financially into the future of our church. We want to give to ensure that the future of the church is strong. We want to give, thanks Dad, we want to give to ensure that we have a strength in our church for our children and even for our children's children. We want them to have buildings to worship in, amen? We want them to have places to call their spiritual homes, to raise their families in and invite their friends to and such and such. We have built the future of this church every year since its inception. For 17 years, we've done this. We've taken this one day. It's very significant. I, for one, am very grateful that people have built the future of this church. We are the future that they had in mind, that they were building for. They didn't know us, we didn't know them, but they gave and they served and they loved so that we could enjoy what we're enjoying today. We may never know their names, we may never get to thank them personally, but I'm just so glad that faithful men and women have gone before us, amen? And today the baton's in our hand. Today it's in our hand. Now, usually my husband would be taking the pulpit on building our future Sunday, and until yesterday, that was very much the plan. That was the plan, but I'm sad to say PK has gastro. Like full-blown gastro. Yes, he's with fevers and chills and body aches and a lot of vomiting, a lot of noisy vomiting. the poor guy who's feeling his pain right now. So at about 4 p.m. yesterday, we made the call, honey, you need to preach, which in turn broke me out into fevers and chills and vomiting. No, I joke with you. A little bit. Joking, not joking? Is that a thing? No, I've got full confidence that God's going to move today. In fact, he already has. You know, in our previous services, he's just already done incredible things. And I relish the opportunity actually to be able to do this and do this with family, right? There's such a sense in the earlier services of we're family and we're doing something with a united heart. You know, this is actually the very first time in our 17-year history that PK has actually not fulfilled his preaching obligation on a Sunday to his own congregation. This is like time number one, the very first time. Don't you think that's amazing? Yeah. We've had some close calls, like we've had gastro before, but not to this level. There was one time we actually were involved in a head-on collision on a Saturday night. It was really crazy, and yet he still got up the next morning and preached two sermons the next day. I'm like, what a hero. I remember so clearly that moment. It had been a crazy evening, as you can imagine. I had been taken by ambulance to Royal Perth Hospital, got discharged at 1 a.m. after they checked me out. I came home very beaten up and bruised, but okay, praise God. Kenley didn't have a scratch on him. You know, like the airbag had deployed in his face, but I think a giant angel had put his wing in between Ken's face and that airbag because he just didn't have a scratch on him. And I remember he woke up that Sunday morning and he said to me, I feel like I've slept on my neck a bit funny. I'm like, dude, you were in a head-on collision last night. Do you think it might have something to do with the accident? Anyway. Anyhow, you know, I believe that this sickness is the work of the enemy, you know, sent to deter us. You know, I believe, you know, Ken is really anointed for these moments. I don't think I'm the only one, even in spite of my bias, you know, that he speaks into stewardship and legacy, probably second to none that I know of. And there's a sense of sadness that he's not able to be here today. I know his heart is like, breaking right now. But I want to say we won't be deterred. We won't be deterred. You know, the enemy is just trying to unnerve us and, you know, distract us and cause us to shrink back. But what does Hebrews 10 say? We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. We are of those who have faith and are saved in Jesus' name. So good. If anything, it's let it build a greater resolve that we are going to build the future in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's a very significant day in the life of our church every calendar year. And I think maybe perhaps our most significant this year as we build our Playles Street property. It's by far the largest building project that we've ever undertaken as a church. And I wholeheartedly believe that that land has been handpicked by God for us. People have been, you know, had their minds blown. How did you get 10,000 square meters of land in Myoree? Nobody's building, nobody's doing that. But I'm like, it's been reserved by God for us, not in some far off location, but 400 meters in that direction. You know, like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. He led us to it prophetically, I believe, at just the right time. And his favor has been over every step of the journey. His favor has been over, you know, the finances, over the council approvals and applications and all those sorts of things, over the construction process. You know, it's going completely according to plan. We're going to hand over in Jesus' name, like when we're supposed to hand over. And I know regardless of what gets given today, I have absolutely no doubt that the bill for the property is completely covered by the hands of the Lord. It's covered by him because he's a God who finishes what he starts. And where he guides us, he also provides for us. I know that with my whole heart. So we're not stressed one bit. And I think what the Playles Street property represents for the future of our church, for the future of Nations Church and online, I think is so significant. It's so significant. And, you know, if you are watching online, you're a part of this. You know, don't switch off today. Don't tune out. You're a part of this because the Playles Street property is the very building from which we're going to broadcast to the nations of the world. We're going to broadcast to your friends, your families. You're a part of this as we have new and better technology and production equipment. We'll be able to do more and send more and go farther. It's not just a Perth thing. It's a global thing. Amen? Amen. One of our church cultures is this. Says, we are about the generations. We have the future in mind. We're building something now that future generations will inherit. If you've been around Nations for any length of time, you know this. You know we have the future in mind. This is not just rhetoric. This is not just empty words. We're giving our lives to this. We're not just speaking it. We're actually doing something about it. We're doing something. Ken and I had the privilege on Friday night to go to Nations Youth and to join them as they had their own building, our future service. It was before he started vomiting. I hope he didn't infect any of your teenagers. So you had to be determined. I'm very sorry ahead of time. But it was so precious to watch our teenagers go first. You're never too young to build the future. You're never too young to get a revelation of legacy. It was such a potent reminder for PK and I of why we're doing what we're doing, because these young people are amazing. Our young people, mums and dads, if you've got teenagers in this place, you're doing a really good job. They're beautiful people. They love God. They love his presence. But we're aware that they are growing up in an environment that is increasingly hostile to the faith that they carry in their hearts. And that is why we're doing this. As fathers and mothers, we have to ensure that on our watch, we secure their future. In our time, we secure their future so that through them, the name of Jesus will be continually made famous. Amen? Amen. With all this in mind, I want to speak to you today on the thought, the power of giving. Turn to someone and say, the power of giving. Our giving is incredibly powerful. And at first glance, that statement might seem really obvious. But I don't know that we've really understood the full depth, the full power of our giving. I think we're very conscious of what our giving achieves outwardly. But how often do we stop to think about what our giving achieves inwardly? We've talked a lot about legacy. Who was here for the panel last week? And who appreciated that? Our panelists just did so well. We loved talking about our giving and the actions of our giving and all the things that that would achieve outwardly. But giving also has an incredible power inwardly, what it does in us. We're giving today to building our future. But have you ever considered that our giving today is also building our lives in the present, building us right now? Because giving is a critical part of the discipleship journey for every believer. It is. It achieves something outside of us, yes, but it also achieves something inside of us. The mandate on this house, we all know it, is that the lost would be found, disciples would be made, and nations would be reached. And I always say that we are some of those disciples in the making. It's not just that disciples would be made out there. But it's that disciples would be made in here and online. We are the disciples in the making. And Jesus had a lot to say to disciples about their conduct with money and possessions. He was vitally interested in what they did with what they had. Why is that? I believe because he understands the power of giving. The power of giving. He understood what giving will accomplish both outside of you and also inside of you. Our giving, or our lack of giving, our attitudes towards material things and possessions, these things are going to reveal the state of our heart before the Lord. You understand that Jesus taught that the flow of life is from the inside out, yeah? It's out of the heart that we speak. It's out of the heart that we act. It's out of the heart that we're either stingy or we're generous. It comes out of our heart. So our conduct with money and things outside of us is actually revealing what's going on the inside of us, in our hearts, in a discipleship framework. If you think it's about the money, you're totally wrong. You're totally wrong. For the disciple, it's never been about the money. It's never been about the stuff, but it's always been about the condition of our heart. Man looks at the outside, but Jesus is searching our hearts. He's searching our hearts. That's how come he can look at the widow. In Mark chapter 12, this widow that gave two mites into the offering. The commentary tells us that two mites is equivalent to about $1. Very insignificant. But Jesus looked at her and he looked at her gift and he said of her, she gave more than anyone. She gave more than all of them combined. All of the rich guys, all of the people with wealth, all of the people with status. Jesus said she gave more. He clearly wasn't referencing the amount she gave. He was referencing the heart out of which she gave. You know, she didn't give more in terms of a dollar amount, but she gave more in terms of heart. She gave her all. She gave with her whole heart. For the disciples, Jesus doesn't want our money, but 100%, he wants our whole heart. Unapologetically, he wants your whole heart. And Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. He says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Profound words, the red letters straight from our Savior's mouth. This is a statement about lordship. Who or what has lordship in your life? Who or what has your whole heart? Is it God or is it money? It's one or the other. Jesus tells us it can't be both. God's not interested in a 50-50 agreement. You know, he won't even settle for 60-40. There is no negotiation to be had. He says you either love one and hate the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. And it's interesting to me that the thing that pits itself against the lordship of Christ in our lives is money. Like Jesus said, didn't say, you can't serve both God and sex. It's probably true, but it's not what Jesus said. He didn't say you can't serve both God and relationships. That's not what Jesus said. He said you can't serve both God and money. Money is the thing, according to Jesus, that's going to fight you for the lordship seat of your life. Money is the thing that's going to contest for lordship in the secret places of your heart. And that's why we as disciples have to understand the power of giving. Yeah. Giving, living generous, living for others. It's going to affirm and reaffirm the lordship of Jesus in your life. That's what it's going to do. When we give, Ken's already preached this to us, we break the back of possession. We break the back of ownership. When we give, we dethrone money. We dethrone possessions. We put them in their rightful place and we enthrone Jesus Christ. We give him his rightful seat in our lives. When we give, we're saying, God, we trust you. We don't trust in all this stuff. In all this stuff. And with the time that we've got left, I want to uncover three aspects of the power of giving. And I pray that these will deeply encourage you in your discipleship journey, not just for today, but as a disciple of Jesus. And I pray that today it will stir our faith as we build together for our future. Amen. So the first point I want to say about your power, the power of giving, is your giving might be concealed, but it's not unseen. Your giving might be concealed, but it's not unseen. Jesus tells his disciples, he says, when you give, not if you give, but when you give, do so in secret. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. It's not considered great form for the disciple to run around and talk about when you gave and who you gave to and what you gave and such and such. It's not great form. It's not really how we do it. Jesus even encourages us to conceal our giving from ourselves, as if that was even possible. He says in Matthew 6, when it comes to your giving, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Who's read that statement? It's like, Jesus, come again. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. What's he saying? He's saying, don't even fall into the trap of being self-congratulatory. You know, don't even allow pride to sneak into your heart and be impressed by your own generosity. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. There's a reason that we give, we build our future, we give you an envelope. You know, we put the numbers inside the envelope, not on the outside of the envelope. Apart from a very select, very trusted couple of staff members who are tasked with processing these envelopes, there is actually nobody that is going to see what you do or don't give today. No one at all. So there's this sense to which, for the disciple, our giving is concealed, but though it's concealed, it's not unseen. It's not unseen. This is what it says in Matthew 6, verse 3 to 4. It says, when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees, turn to someone and say, your Father who sees. Your Father sees what is done in secret and he will reward you. He will reward you. New King James Version says he will reward you openly. It might be concealed, but it is seen by our Heavenly Father. He sees our giving, and what's more, he promises to reward it. He's the God. He's our Father that sees what we do in secret, and he rewards his children openly. How good is he as our Father? You know, he's the God who sees what is indeed transacting in the innermost parts of your heart as you give. He's that kind of Father. It might be concealed, but it's not unseen. Your Father sees the trust that's in your heart as you give. Your Father sees the faith that's in your heart as you give to Him. He even sees the struggles. He sees the wrestles. He sees the lordship battle. He sees what's going on. He sees, your Father sees, He knows the needs in your life. Your Father knows the needs in your life. Just like Jesus saw that widow with her two mites in the offering, your Father sees you. He sees you in those secret places. Matthew chapter 6, very same chapter, same sermon from Jesus. It tells us so plainly, your Father knows what you need. He knows what you need. Anyone pleased? We've got a Father who knows what we need. What's more, He's more than capable to meet every single need. What does it say? Seek first His kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be added as well. Our giving might be concealed, but it's not unseen. And it's going to be richly rewarded as in faithfulness we give as unto Him. Amen. My second thought on the power of giving. Your giving might be unspoken, but it is not silent. Your giving might be unspoken, but it's not silent. Who knows? You don't need a voice to speak. If you're here and you've ever been given the silent treatment by your spouse, you know that you don't need a voice to speak. I mean, they're not speaking to you, but they are speaking to you. You know what I mean? That cold shoulder is very loud right now, you know? That slamming the cupboard door and huffing and puffing. It's like, that is speaking. It might not be a voice, but it's speaking, saying, I'm not happy, Jan. It might be silent right now, but who knows, the explosion's coming. The voice is going to find life sometime or another. May or may not be speaking from experience. I'll leave you to determine that one. You don't need a voice to speak. Psalm 19 says this. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of His hands. Do the heavens have a voice? Do the skies have a voice? They don't, but they are far from silent. They're constantly speaking to the ends of the earth every day and every night of the goodness, the greatness, the wonder, the creative power of our God. They speak. And our giving, it might be unspoken, but I want to tell you, it is far from silent. As a community, as we decide together as family to build our future, to lead lives that are legacy leaving, when we decide to invest into future generations, these decisions are speaking, I believe, and their message is loud. And the message is that it's not about us, it's all about Him. Our conduct, I pray, will continually speak of Him. Jesus says this, He says, people will see your good deeds and they will glorify the Father in heaven. You know, they'll see how we choose to live and lead and give and serve, and it's going to result in praise, glory, and honor to our Savior Jesus. It might be unspoken, but it is not silent. Amen. Far beyond what we could ever preach or speak, our community is going to hear, and the unchurched are going to hear, and for you online, the nations of the world are going to hear, and our loved ones who don't know Jesus yet, I pray that they are going to hear. They're going to hear the message of Jesus Christ through our giving and through what we choose to do. Mums and dads in the room, as you purpose in your heart to be generous, as you purpose to honor God with your lives and your finances, I believe you won't have to say anything, but your kids are going to hear the message. Your kids are going to get it. The penny is going to drop. Your giving actions will speak all by themselves without you needing to voice it. They're going to speak into the spiritual atmosphere over your home. They're going to speak into the covering over your children and leave a legacy in your family line. We don't need to be parenting geniuses to know that kids don't do what we say. They do as we do. They hear what we do. They hear what we do. And our giving today might be unspoken, but it's speaking corporately. It's speaking individually. And I believe it's speaking spiritually. This is a bold spiritual declaration in Jesus' name. And I pray that it'll be loud and it'll be proud and it'll give glory and honor to Jesus in this generation and the next. Amen. And my final thought about the power of giving. Your giving might be momentary, but it's going to impact eternally. It might be momentary, but it's going to impact eternally. There's a sense to which our giving today is momentary, as in it's happening in a moment. Today is the 20th of June, 2021, you know. Lord willing, the sun will go down, if the sun's even up. A bit gloomy in old Perth today. You know, and it will come up again, this moment will pass, but the impact of what we do here today will be recorded eternally. This is our faith posture as disciples. Not only are we building the future for the next generation and trusting God that He's going to bring increase to the seed that we sow, but also heaven is watching, heaven is recording everything that we do. You know, it might be momentary, but it's storing up treasure eternally. That's what the scriptures say. Jesus says, don't store up for yourselves treasure on earth. It's pointless, it's futile, it's all going to fade, it's all going to be destroyed, and thieves can break in and steal the stuff, and attachment is misery. Jesus didn't say that, that's my little add-on. The more things you have, the more things can break. The more things that you have, the more bills come in. Do I have an amen? The air con, the dishwasher, the car, and so and so and so and so. Jesus invited us to store up treasure in heaven. He said, store all your treasure up to a place that is beyond corruption. The dishwashers in heaven don't break down. You know, again, Jesus didn't say that. But he did say nothing and no one can touch what we store up eternally, because God Himself watches over it. It's of a different kind. And I believe that anything we do in faith, anything you do as unto God and in His name, He's going to store up in heaven on your behalf. Those prayers that you pray, those times that you fast, when we give, when we serve, when we extend the kingdom, when we praise our way through trials and struggles and challenges, when we build the future, when we give, it's all being stored up in heaven, and its impact is beyond the moment. It echoes in eternity. Amen. God sets us up for an ultimate win-win. Our faith-filled actions will impact others on earth, but it also stored up eternally for us. Amen. Outworked in a moment, but recorded forever. Touching lives on earth, but remembered in heaven. It's so much bigger than us. Yeah. If you only take away one takeaway today, it's so much bigger than us, than just you and me. It's so much more significant than right now. And I don't know the full impact of our giving today. I couldn't possibly know. But I do know that He is the God of Ephesians 3:20. It says in Ephesians 3:20, now to Him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Now stop letting that scripture go through your cynical filter. I've heard that one before, and hear it with fresh ears. Now to Him who's able to do immeasurably more than we ask or we imagine, according to His power that's at work within us, to Him be the glory. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever and ever. Amen. Where you can come and join me. I have no doubt that today's giving will accomplish amazing things outside of us, but it's my heartfelt prayer that it will also accomplish amazing things on the inside of us, and that we will choose to take another step on this journey of discipleship and use this earthly life which Jesus has given us for His glory. Amen. Our giving today is concealed, but it's not unseen. It's unspoken, but it's not silent. It's momentary, but it's going to impact eternally, and it's all going to be for His glory. Amen? Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.